Oh, I think in the Old Testament, even for the highest integrity, the person with highest integrity, when they come to God, they came with fear and trembling. And here we are today. Here we are today. And God is inviting us between the Isaiah time and Hebrew 4, verse 16. Well, the answer is obvious. It's Jesus. Jesus in Hebrew 4 says he is our great high priest. It is him who made a difference. It is him who opened up this path so that we can come to the throne of grace, not with fear, trembling, but with confidence that he listened to us in our time of need. It is Jesus that made a difference. Okay, let's just keep that in mind. I think that is what the message I felt that God spoke to me through today's passage. Let me just read the passage, then we'll start. Therefore, verse 14 of Hebrew 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we professed. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of needs. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He's able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weaknesses. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sin, as well as for the sins of the people. Verse 4, chapter 5. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called or appointed by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, God appointed him, God selected him, saying, you are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. So what we read in Matthew about Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, I think this is what the Hebrew writer is referring to, that he prayed to ask God to see if God can spare him of this death. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Verse 8. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we have your words, but we ask your Holy Spirit today to bring the message of that words to your people. So Lord, we want to hear your voice through your words and not a man's voice. So I submit myself as you speak through me, that I may also receive from you the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Hebrew, like I said, Hebrew is Hebrew writer wants to convince all these Hebrews, the Jews, that Jesus is better. And he went to some of the traditions and some of their culture icons to show them that Jesus is greater than this. So the first thing that he did was the angel. So he compared angel with Jesus. He says, angel is not a son, but Jesus is a son. So Jesus is greater. And then he went into Sabbath. Sabbath is to the Jews, they have to keep the Sabbath, right? And then the Hebrew writer told him that, wait a minute, you know, even though you think that when you go into the promised land, that you have a resting place. But he says, no, there is a greater resting place for you. You can only enter that resting place, God's rest, by faith and obedience. So he says, many of you have not entered into that because you have not entered by faith. He says, your ancestor in the wilderness thought maybe they had gone into the promised land, but in reality, in the spiritual reality, they have not entered that rest either because they did not, they disobeyed God. They disobeyed God. So in that sense, the Hebrew writer says, you have to make every effort to enter into that rest. Make every effort to keep your faith, to believe in Jesus Christ, in order for you to enter that rest. Because Jesus in the New Testament says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I shall give you rest. I shall give you rest. So it's the same rest that Hebrew writer is talking about, what God has promised is that rest in Christ. So he brought the rest, the subject of rest, into the conversation, into the letter. And then chapter 4, later part of chapter 4, he opened up a new subject. Sacrifice, because that is part of the Jewish religious rituals, is making sacrifice. Why making sacrifice? Because sin, right? Because the issue of sin. And who makes the sacrifice? The high priest, once a year, the Day of Atonement, make that sacrifice for the whole nation of Israel. And then this priest, if you read in Leviticus, that he entered into the Holy of Holies. There is a holy place where they do the lamb, that they have the table and the shrewd bread and all that. And then there is a curtain that separates the holy from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, that high priest can only go in once a year to make that sacrifice for the nation of Israel. So this is a sacrificial system. And they have, whenever you have violated the commandment of God, the law of Moses, you make a sacrifice. You make a sacrifice, you take it to the temple, and the priest will do the sacrifice for you. But the high priest is doing the sacrifice for the nation, for the sins of all people, once a year. So that's the sacrificial system in a nutshell. And Hebrew writer wants to now tackle that. Wants to explain that to these Hebrew Christians, to these Hebrew Christians. So I think the first point is that our high priest, Jesus Christ, since we have a high priest who has gone through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. So it is very clear from the very beginning in verse 14 is that Jesus Christ is that high priest. And this high priest has gone through heavens. Well, actually, what it also means is that he came from heaven. John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, talking about that he came from heaven. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this high priest is different. Then the Aaronic Aaron, the high priest, in the lineage of Aaron. Because in verse 4 of chapter 5, just like Aaron and his descendants are picked and choose and called to be the high priest. So the lineage is different. Well, Jesus came from heaven and the high priests for the Jews today are from the lineage of Aaron's descendants. So that's different. And then he came from heaven. And then second thing, we have a high priest. This is in verse 15 now. That is able to sympathize with us. The words here actually says who is unable. We do not have a double negative. We do not have a high priest who is unable. Which means is that we do have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us. Who is sympathize with us. Now, what the kind of sympathy that Jesus had for us, this high priest had for us? He says that he was tempted. He was tempted in just like we are. Just like we are. You know, you know the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, right? Just like we are. In every way, but he was without sin. He was without sin. So the temptation comes. The temptation comes to sin, the desire of the flesh, right? Desire the temptation of the eyes. 1 John chapter 2. These are all temptations that come to us. And also went to Jesus. So Jesus knew how you are tempted. Jesus knew how wealth can tempt us. Jesus knew how prestige can tempt us. Because a devil says, if you are God, then do this. You know, jump off the top, from the top of the temple. So prestige, you know, Jesus should say, oh, yeah, I show you I am the real God. So there's a temptation of prestige and power and authorities and materials. These are all things that Jesus has faced. So he knew what kind of temptations that we face. But Jesus never gave in to sin. And then there is also the difference between Jesus and the other high priest. Is that chapter 5. Jesus is the Son. So Christ did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Again, this high priest is an office, but at the same time is a person. So it's not so much that the Hebrew writer is saying is that, hey, Jesus presenting the sacrifice is more effective than the other high priest. It's not the sacrifice at this point, but it is who is making that sacrifice. The Son of God, who is the high priest, who making that sacrifice. So that's a point that we take from chapter 5. And also is that verse 7, 8, and 9 describing Jesus' obedience to the Father. And then that he his obedience make him perfect. Even though here he hasn't touched that Jesus himself is not only the one who present the sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice that God has prepared for us. Even though he hasn't clearly indicated, but at least here you see that Jesus was made perfect because that sacrifice has to be perfect. The sacrifice is not an animal, even though Leviticus says that should be with no blemish, but the animal only represents us. It's not us. So we don't have to die, the animal died. But the perfections of Jesus is here we see that learn and reveal to us through obedience even unto death. So his sacrifice makes this sacrifice become perfect because through his obedience that this sacrifice becomes efficacy, effective for every one of us who obey him, who receive him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, whoever receive him, he gives them the right to be called the children of God. So the Hebrew writer just want to make these points to saying that Jesus is our great high priest, greater than your high priest that does the sacrifice today. He did a sacrifice and then sit down at the right hand. He did sacrifice once and for all and sit down at the right hand of God. And he is that perfect sacrifice because he submitted himself to God. He was made perfect. That sacrifice was made perfect because of submission to God. So that's what chapter 4 and chapter 5 comparing who Jesus is and what he sacrificed and the regular high priest who and his sacrifice. But I also want you to point out is that this little phrase, let us, happened 14 times in Hebrew. And in chapter 4, it happens 4 times. Okay, I'll show you. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest, it's talking about the rest, still stand. And then what? Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. First, let us. And Hebrew 4:11 is the second let us. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. So, verse 11, let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. That's another let us. In verse 14, Hebrew 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we professed. Another led us. And then, of course, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So therefore, let us, they all point to Jesus. They all point to Jesus, who he is, what he's done. So because of that, let us encourage one another. Let us continue, hold on to our faith. Let us go to him when we have needs. Let us rest in him by faith and obedience. So there's the let us statement. I think there's 10 more in the rest of Hebrew. The famous one is that let us encourage each other as we see the days approaching, right? Don't disregard the gathering of saints. Let us continue to meet together. But I want to park on the verse 16 as I conclude. Jesus, our high priest, Jesus who sympathized with our weaknesses, Jesus who gave us the rest, the eternal rest. And verse 16, let us then, of all this about Jesus, we have received him. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of needs. As I was thinking about that verse, you know, we often read it as when you have a problem, when you have an issue, you go to Jesus. That is the invitation right there. You know, you have a need, so you go to Jesus. So, my child is in the intensive care. I go to Jesus because that verse invites me to go to Jesus. Or that my parents has cancer, dying of cancer. So the invitations for me to go to Jesus, asking Jesus to help. Or if they're not Christians, we go to Jesus asking to send somebody to share the gospel with them. Or when my husband or my wife has an affair outside of marriage, I go to Jesus, pour out my heart to him. That's the invitation we think. So Jesus may help. You know, I think that everybody's happy when Jesus let your child come out of intensive care, no problem, and your marriage is restored somehow, miraculously. Your marriage is restored, thank God. And then your parents receive Jesus. We say, praise the Lord. That's what we believe verse 16 says. But if you read 16, he says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. So we go with confidence. We go knowing that God listens to us.